AM 1400, K1, and a second community connection for you on the way now as I get the opportunity for the first time in 2018 to talk with candidate for the first congressional district seat, Kevin Hearn. Good morning, Kevin, and thanks for calling in 2018.
And Happy New Year to you, Charlie, and all the folks up in Bartlesville.
Thank you very much. Looked forward to seeing you the next time you're in town. I know that it is a long campaign. On the other hand, now we're counting down the days, weeks, and months until the primary, and it is going to be a busy political season for probably every race on the ballot because of things like, for the governor, it's a term-limited governor, and for the congressional seat, Congressman Bridenstine has said 6 years ago that he was only going to serve 6 years, so he's stepping down. It's an open seat, and I don't know what the future of a NASA nomination now will be because the president has to re-nominate, but what I do know is you're busy out on the campaign trail talking to people.
I am, Charlie, and just to bring everyone up on the race, Congressman Bridenstine, as many knows, has been nominated and brought out the Commerce Committee and was waiting the full vote on the floor like probably 100-plus other folks out there. And because it didn't happen, he'll need to be renominated. Senate goes back into session tomorrow, renominated. He won't have to go through the hearing again, but he will have to go through the committee vote and then back on the floor. But there are several folks that are waiting. It's part of the Democrats' strategy to stall on all the leadership positions for the administration. One of the things that's been going on underneath all that is we've had a lot of the judiciary nominees go through, which is supportive of President Trump's agenda. So that's good. But to your point, it's going to be a regular cycle now. June 26th is the primary, and then the general in November if there's a Democrat.
It certainly will be. And looking at the state of politics, in particularly in Washington in general, state of Oklahoma is not necessarily this way, but we have certainly become polarized on the right and on the left, and virtually no middle ground in between. That's not the history of our country, but that's certainly where we are today. And I think there is room for some people who maybe have a business background and are willing to say, make a deal. Nobody's likes this particular bill, but it's something we can all live with. Let's go vote for it.
Well, I think, Charlie, at the end of the day, we need leadership. We need that at our state level. We need it at the federal level. And, leadership comes at all levels. And whether it's trying to find a way forward, and you have to have a common goal, and the common goal for American citizens in this country is getting more people back to work. And that's what I've done for over 20 years now. I've created jobs across multiple businesses. And, jobs do a lot of things for us that the federal government can never do. And, jobs give us lower crime rates because people are, they're tired in the daytime, and, they go home, they go to bed, they don't go out and do bad things, and, it lets our churches grow because, people are happier, and when they have jobs, and they're making their way, and they're not dependent upon the government. So job creation is a common core to who I am and what I'm about, has been for many, many years, and that's what we need to work on. And the things that we do in Washington, D.C. need to be focused strategically on doing job creation in America.
Well, you certainly sound like a good quote from Ronald Wilson Reagan. The best welfare program there is called a job.
That's exactly right. What jobs do for everyone is it gives you, it liberates you. We talk about liberties in this country. There's nothing more liberating than having a job where you can have your aspirations to grow and get as wealthy as you want to be in this country. And we can never destroy this idea called the American dream, where if I want to take a risk and fail and get back up again and do that time and time again, I will achieve my American dream. It'll be because I either did it because I failed or I did it because I achieved. And that's what it's all about. And governments have never made anyone individually wealthy. We need to always remember that. We're never going to be able to get enough money from other people's money to make us wealthy. And we need to create it on our own. And this country allows us to do that. If we'll just get the people out of the way and go back to our core competencies of the United States Constitution.
Absolutely, and there are so many business success stories, and that's not the point of this interview, but whether you look at Colonel Harlan Sanders or so many business people that we think of are successful people that before they were successful failed numerous times. And it, like you said, it's that opportunity to step forward and try your idea in the marketplace.
I will tell you, you learn more from failure than you do from success. It's as crazy as that may sound. and you just never want to give up. If you truly believe that you have this aspiration and inspiration to succeed, you'll continue to work to find solutions.
Yeah.
But I think that's what's different from somebody who talks about creating jobs than somebody who's actually created jobs.
Well,
somebody who's actually put people to work than somebody who talks about putting people to work. And again, I'm the only guy out there that's running this race right now that's hired people and created jobs. So it's important.
It is. Someone who has, as we use the phrase, signed both sides of a paycheck. And I think that's important.
Well, it's important because when you're the last person to get paid, like all small business owners are, everything that happens out of Washington, D.C. or across the state impacts you first. And so you lay awake at night trying to make sure that you can meet your payroll of the folks that work for you, because you have a multiplication factor, a responsibility to them and their families to help keep their food on their table and at the same time keeping your business viable. I don't care what business you're in. If you own a business, that goes through your head every single day. Is how do I make it through the next payroll period, the next month, the next year? And when we have this former administration that said we didn't build that, or having America's not great, or this we're appeasement policy, foreign policy, where we're just going to allow everybody to sing kumbaya together, it's very discouraging, because at the end of the day, the one thing that is fundamental to who we are and what we're about is seeking this opportunity again to chase the American dream.
It is. And as we look in another 18 days from now, it'll be the one-year anniversary of Inauguration Day for the president. And the Congress and the president, I think, have in general, at least on the Republican side of things, worked together towards some common goals. And I think the American people are now reacting to it. You look at what the market is reacting to, and we see that progress, I think, moving forward.
Well, I think what you're seeing the market respond to is hope, hope in America again. I don't believe anybody truly understood the pent-up demand for inspiration in this country. I know we hear a lot of stuff from the media, but it's just not telling that tale when you see job creation, job numbers, economic growth in this country. You're just not going to see this. And all these folks that are out chastising this tax policy, this tax reform that just went through for the first time in 31 years, I doubt that we're going to see them line up and write the new monies they get from this tax reform. I doubt we see them write a check back to the federal government for what they got, because they don't want it. And so it's really kind of interesting to see what's going on. As I've traveled around the district and listened to so many people, it's interesting when you see people, Charlie, they're in their 60s, 70s, 80s, even 90s, saying, they'll say to me, phrase of, son, I don't know why you're doing this. This country, we're never going to, I've lost all hope. We lived the best days of this country. And that just, to me, is just an inspiration to say, I want to go out there and help change this country back to what it used to be. We have so many of the younger generation right now, the 22, 23s to 33s, that just don't know how good it can be. And I would even say some in their 40s just don't know how good it can be, because it's been in such a spiral since like 2007 of bad economies, failures. And so if you think about that 10 to 11 year time frame, it's all been bad news. It's all been bad news that you need to be dependent upon a government to bail you out, dependent upon the government to pay your wages because business is bad. And it's a way we're kind of new hope in America. And not to borrow the phrase, but it truly is seeing this opportunity to make America great again.
Well, I think that's the phrase that will resonate with voters. Obviously, it has with a lot of people over the past year or so. And it's a matter of saying, I think, that optimism. It's a matter of looking at the potential of the individual and also the collection of individuals that is our republic.
Well, and what's interesting about when you see what President Trump has done, he is beholden to no one. And what he's come in and he has actually worked on a lot of things across the board. Typically in administrations, they come in with an idea, we're going to get tax reform in the first year, or we're going to get one specific idea done. But he's come in and cutting regulations, and originally he wanted to do 2-to-1 and it was 16-to-1, and last count it was roughly 22 regulations. For every new regulation, 22 were cut. And his ceremony about rolling us back to regulations of 1960, that. And even something as simple. You think something as simple as recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. I mean, that was passed by our Congress in 1995 overwhelmingly. And presidents have not had the intestinal fortitude over those years, those last 22 years rather, to actually go ahead and make that move, recognize what Congress, our Congress, had put in place and recognize that. And the Paris Climate Accords, you know, he said he would pull out of that because he thought we were unfairly having to unfairly compensate the agreement. And, you know, the immigration reform, you know, he's still moving forward with the wall, which is, you know, he's wanting to protect us. You know, one of the fundamental responsibilities of the United States government is to protect its citizens, and whether it's a military or whether it's a border wall. And we've, you know, nobody else has got a solution for the border. They keep talking about strengthening the border. I have been, from day one, talking about the need for building a southern border wall. In business, you don't keep doing something over and over and over and getting the same results. You do something different. For 30, 40, 50 years now, we have left the border alone. In a sense, we put more people down there and still haven't stopped this. We've got to stop the bad people from coming into this country. And so a lot of these things cross multiple fronts. It just shows you that, you know, he's not a single-minded guy. You can't be a single-minded person and run businesses. You have to have a broad spectrum of things that are going on. And that's years of experience. You know, he's been doing it for, you know, 50 years, and myself for over 20. And I think that's the difference in the candidates in the race.
Well, certainly you look at a president who, I'll say, is more interested in getting things done than many legislators who are our career politicians, and their goal is getting through the next election.
Well, it is. And, you know, something, the underlying results, you know, you try to look in business, you know, what one or two things can I do to give you multiplication effect to this? And, you know, his narrative of reducing regulations, cutting taxes, getting money back to the job holders and job creators, this next step of making sure that we're giving hand-ups to people who need the hand-ups, not handouts to people who are, you know, habitual offenders of the federal programs that are out there, but making sure we're truly helping the people who need to be helped. And when you start doing all these things, you can very rapidly get back to where you're having surpluses on an annual basis. And until you start having surpluses, you can't reduce the deficit, or the debt, rather. And so those are things that happen underneath. And we're seeing that very rapidly. I mean, just a year ago, all these brilliant economists said it was impossible to ever return to a 3% annual growth rate. And now they're saying it's impossible to return to an annual growth rate of 4%. So they project it 3.9. So, you know, which is 2 percentage points higher than what President Obama achieved in any of his 8 years in office.
Wow.
So all these things, when you free up job creators to do their jobs and you re-inspire the American people to go out and work hard and achieve something independent of the federal government, it's unbelievable what this country still has in its bank to inspire and to be the beacon of the world.
Well, I know these
we're seeing that.
These are things that people are telling you on the campaign trail, because I've heard them. I've been at events where you have been speaking, and in the roughly a minute and a half that we've got left, people can go to your website for more information, because we're now really getting into the education process where people realize, hey, there's a primary coming up in a few months.
That's true. HearnForCongress.com, HearnForCongress.com. Our Facebook page is Kevin R. Hearn. We're having tremendous outreach coming from all across the district. We greatly appreciate all the support we're getting, both financially, people wanting signs in their yards, helping us with their friends, putting meet and greets together, a lot of things going on. And so really appreciate it. Again, HearnForCongress.com. We have a lot of information coming on a daily basis. Sign up to volunteer. Sign up to help us out in many ways. We have a couple hundred volunteers right now across the district, which has been outstanding. From all ages, all walks of life, from all types of businesses, people are really inspired. I know that what President Trump is doing for America, the people in the First District are seeing that opportunity with somebody that's obviously created jobs for many, many years, and seeing just the opportunity to release this pent-up demand to do that. So anyway, looking forward to it, and thank you so much, Charlie. It's always great to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Kevin Hearn.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville.